My time for our big Friday interview, and do you remember this?
As long as I know how to love, what now I'll stay in love. I will survive. I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking.
Well, that's Carn Money's Leah McFall performing on singing competition The Voice last year. And doesn't that give you goosebumps just thinking back to it? She had been tipped to win the competition but lost out to Andrea Begley. However, that hasn't slowed her down. Spurred on by help from mentor and friend will.i.am, Leah has just released her official debut single, Home. And she joins me now from London. Hello, Leah. Well, when you listen back to that voice clip, does that seem like light years ago now?
It does a wee bit, actually. But really, whenever I think about it, it's only literally about a year and a month since I did that wee performance. But yeah, it does feel like forever ago.
What for you was the highlight of that whole process?
I mean, there was quite a few, to be honest. Obviously, that performance, I Will Survive, like, you know, the response that we got that night was incredible. Like, and, you know, it ended up charting and everything, which was literally insane. And then, obviously, performing with Will and Bang Bang, which was really fun on the final week. So there were so many highlights from that show. I really, really enjoyed it.
And it really has set you on this amazing path. What have you been doing since?
Well, basically 2 days after the show, I was picked up by Universal, signed to Capitol Records, and then Will flew me out to LA and we started working together.
It's very rare you come across like singers that make you say, wow, where do you come from? What's your inspiration? Like, what do you listen to? There's a lot of great singers. And then there's those special singers. And Leah's one of those special ones.
I was only meant to write 10 songs with him, but, you know, I ended up staying there, you know, for pretty much about the last year, really.
And what's that been like?
It's been insane. It's been a complete whirlwind, you know. So I was there and we were writing and he called in like literally the best songwriters like ever. Like he tweeted saying, I'm getting the Wizards in, and you know, that's exactly what he did. And we had, you know, Toby Gad, who's wrote If I Were a Boy for Beyonce and All of Me, John Legend, and Esther Dean, who wrote all the Rihanna big hits, and you know, Diane
Warren,
all the massive Diva songs, you know, and more, you know. And I was in sessions with these people, you know, writing with them, which was just such an honour.
Were you pinching yourself?
Yeah, well, I remember he asked me to come on tour with him, and I was on tour with him, and we did the O2 Arena, which is 20,000 people in London, and, you know, Cheryl Cole was with us. We were performing all on stage, and I remember there's one little bit in it when he says, okay, everyone, I want you to put up, you know, your phones. I want to see your light. And he's seeing 20,000 phones, like, you know, just, it's like just knowing that's how many wee people are there, you know.
Turn up the lights in the house, yeah. Turn up the lights in the house, yeah. Turn up the lights.
That bit was just like, oh my goodness, is this happening? This is incredible, you know?
And what is the main difference between Carn Money and LA?
The main difference,
sunshine,
completely different world. Carmoney is like so homely and like you know, really rural and lovely. And LA's, you know, it's Hollywood.
It must just seem surreal at times.
It does, yeah. But you know, it's easy to keep your, you know, your feet on the ground when you've got really, really good people around you. You know, And, you know, just basically having a laugh the whole way along it as well helps. So,
do you ever get homesick, Leah?
Look, I do. You know, I would be really close to my wee family and friends, and they come over. Basically, I was supporting Jesse J, and I had at least two of them at every single gig, you know. So they come over to me a lot, and every single time I've got 2 or 3 days off, I literally am like, right, I'm away. I'll see you in a bit and fly home for a bit. But yes, I do get a wee bit homesick. Like, you know, I think really once you travel the world, which I'm so thankful for, you know, and hope I get to do more of, like you do start to realise, you know what, Northern Ireland's a pretty special wee place. Like,
well, how's your family handling all this new fame?
Oh, they love it. They're great. I mean, I don't know how famous I am. I think my family think I'm more famous than what I am, particularly my aunt. So I came home for a weekend there, and we were just at a cafe, and, you know, one of the waiters came up and was like, you know, can I serve you at all, and, you know, can I get you anything? And my aunt goes, you recognise her, don't you? You want a wee photo with her? Don't you worry. Leah, get up and get a wee photo. He didn't have the foggiest clue who I was. I was absolutely mortified. So I think they enjoy it slightly more than I do sometimes.
That's the thing about your Northern Ireland family. They will let you down a bucket full, won't they?
Absolutely. 100%. People come up to congratulate you, and your family the first one to remind you of them stories when you were younger.
Do they, Leah, do they ever worry about you, do you think?
I think there's certain things they worry about. I mean, there's things that I think is harder for them than me in terms of, like, you know, the wee comments or whatever maybe that you get on YouTube and stuff. You know, sometimes they probably worry that they get to you. But to be honest, the response that we've had and has just been really, really good overall. You know, I got so much support and love from the nation, really, from the show, and continue to have so. No, I think they're just really excited for me. Like, they've been watching me, you know, from I was literally 6, and particularly starting to really pursue when I was 14, you know, in Northern Ireland and stuff. So I think they've just been standing on the edge, like, ready to be really proud, you know.
Especially your dad, John. He's never off Twitter tweeting about you.
He's hilarious now. He does it. Both of them, and my aunt, actually. My aunt's on Twitter and follows 2 people, me and Will I Am. But yes, no, my parents are brilliant. They've been supporting me from a wee throat, and they're just so excited for me, you know.
Do you think that will help you in the long run with fame? Because with Chulisa recently, we really did see the fickle side of it, where she had gone from being one of the biggest TV shows and a successful music career to nothing in a matter of months.
So do you mean, as in, do you think your family will help you?
Yeah, that sort of, that? Will they help kind of, I suppose, negate the negative sides of it?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, I think there's negatives and there's positives to every job, you know? But I think it, particularly from just my experience, I can only speak on that, you know, and that really is that I love what I do. I love singing. I never pursued fame. It's not something that I treasure in any way. So I think with that, like, if that's not your little treasure, then it'll not be the thing that you'll lose. You know what I mean? Because you'll always have your voice and always have music and always have family and stuff like that, even if, you know, maybe you're not in front of newspapers, you know. For the right reasons. So yeah, like, I just I just think, like, we family and doing what you love will keep you grounded, you know. So yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, I think fame is just comes and goes, doesn't it? So for, like, everybody.
That's it. I suppose just try not to take any of that too seriously.
Yeah, definitely. And because I think obviously it's your business, so you'll it's something that you're going to work hard for. And, you know, it's your wee brand and stuff that you're building. But I think it's just what you treasure is what's going to hurt when you lose it. And if you're treasuring the people that you've got around you, and, you know, that's what's special to you, and also treasuring that, you know, your music. You know, because even if you're not famous anymore, you can still make music. Don't you feel unstoppable? Don't you feel unbreakable? When every chance feels... Those are things you treasure, then it won't hurt as much when maybe lose the fame side, you know?
And hopefully you will have made pots of money and you can sit there with your feet up and do that.
Well, see, now at the minute it's hilarious because I'm calling you from a little house that I rented in Peckham, with my 4 house rates. and we have a little rat that wasn't invited and refuses to pay rent. So I can't really speak on the whole money side of it today.
So the whole the glamorous side of it, it's all true then.
Yep, completely living it up. I don't know when that comes. I'll let you know. To bring us home.
But tell me, you know, the whole thing, I suppose just because it's so stark, the difference in coming from here and Carnmoney and then being in LA, were you starstruck? Was there anybody you met that you thought, oh goodness, I can't believe I'm in the same room as you?
I've had the honour of meeting a lot of famous people, and people that I particularly really, really respect within the industry. In terms of being, like, actually struck with no words, I think I can remember, because that doesn't really happen very often to myself. but I can remember one occasion, and it stands out so much, and that was whenever I was over at the Grammy event singing with Will, and Music I Care event in honour of Carole King. And, we were just about to perform, and Will was like, "You all right?" And I'm like, "No, I'm so nervous, Will. Like, Lady Gaga's just finished performing and is standing 2 feet away from me. So, you know, I'm quite nervous." And he's like, "No, you'll be fine, but just don't screw up." I was like, thanks, mate.
Thanks for that.
So we went and we performed, and then we were standing in the kind of audience that's after, and Will left me for 2 minutes to go grab someone from his label, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me," and I turned around and it was Tom Hanks. And he was like, "Can I just congratulate you on your performance because you're excellent?" And you know whenever you literally start speaking yawn, like, you're just like that's literally the only thing that happened. I managed to kind of get out, "Can I get a photo?" And he was like, "Of course," and I was like, "Great." So that's on my Instagram.
Oh, fantastic. And how do you, you know, how do you get ready for one of those big events, you know, a big red carpet event or the Grammys? Because it's, you know, it's not like going out for the night here.
I mean, it's great because, like, from the show, you start to get used to, and even because I was gigging before and all, you know, you've got these amazing people that do your hair and makeup and, you know, change you from looking like you're part of the Addams family to something a little bit more human than them. Yeah, like, but the funniest thing for me in LA was, Will's PR lady, which is one of my favourite people in the world, she's called Sally, and she was giving me some red carpet advice because I was very nervous. I was more nervous about that than the performance. And I was just like, "Yeah, I just don't really know what to do." And she was like, "Okay, well, we always, you know, always stand like this and stand like this, and we always want to keep your smile fresh. So if you could just say sushi." And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Just say sushi because it'll make your smile, like, fresh." I stood on the red carpet and was like, "Sushi? Like, nothing happened.
Did you walk the length of the red carpet just mumbling sushi to yourself?
Sushi, yeah, just literally being like, "You know, this is strange because I'm pretty sure I'm not even smiling, and I actually wouldn't mind ordering some sushi right now." So.
Were you feeling, did it make you feel hungry as opposed to pose?
Just like, it would have been better if I was standing in a restaurant saying sushi as opposed to getting my photo taken. But no, it's good, you know. Yeah, you get good advice. You get people making you laugh, you know, while they're standing beside you. So then you don't need to say sushi.
Oh, because it seems like you and Will I Am have that relationship. You have a really, really great kind of friendly, respectful, you know,
yeah,
relationship.
No, totally. He's just continued to be such a mentor, and yeah, he. Like, I've been working with him for a year and a half now. It would be about a year and a half now. And basically, that just means I've been laughing my head off for a year and a half. He's genuinely one of the most funniest people you'll meet. But also, they're just not messing around when they call him a genius, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's incredible. Like, I've just learned so much from him. You know, I feel like I've just been like a big sponge, you know, soaking it all up. And he's just, he's an inspiration all the time. He's consistently inspired, even when we have a little bit of downtime, you know, just like maybe sitting chatting. Like, he's always, you know, excited about something or inspired about something. And it's just a really lovely energy to be around, you know. And not only that, he's very, very much invested in people in terms of, like, he puts a lot back into his home. Where he came from, because he came from, like, the projects and stuff like that. And, you know, before he bought himself a house, he moved his whole family out and bought them a house. You know, there's just things like that that are just inspiring for a human level. And, you know, then there's also being inspired from a musician or an artist level. So I've just really enjoyed the past year and a half and just honoured to say that I've, you know, worked so closely with him.
Yeah. Well, tell me about Home then, the debut single that you've worked on together.
Yeah, so basically we wrote this in LA with a guy called John Baptiste. And John Baptiste is actually the co-writer of Scream and Shout. So that was an honour. So it was a massive hit. So yeah, we were just chatting about how, you know, we love travelling. It's in us. You know, it's in what we do, part of our passion. But, you know, in that, with travelling, you just realise, oh, there is no wee place like your home, you know.
Are you untouchable? Are you invincible?
And for me, like, because I literally walked, you know, on the stage, and from instantly I had particularly Northern Ireland completely behind me, you know, all three of us did, me, Connor and Andrea, you know. And I just really just, it was so lovely to be able to say, look, my first single is dedicated to Northern Ireland, and, you know, the chorus is, I'm going to give everything I've got for you. Yeah, I'm just going to do it for you, and I'll take it as far as I can go and dedicate to you, you know. So it was just, it's just a lovely, the lyrical content of it is beautiful, and we sampled it from, you know, Edward Sharpe's Magnetic Zero, you know, their song Home and stuff, and we just came together really well, and we loved it, and we thought it would be a good start to the album, because the album's quite eclectic, but this is a really nicely pop, upbeat, feel-good tune. So it's a lovely song to build on, you know.
Are you feeling the pressure to get a hit?
I'll be honest with you, not overly. Mainly because, you know, I've been away for a year, so I'm completely on the same grounding as any other up-and-coming artist. I mean, obviously, the chart at any level would be incredible. But, you know, the response that we've had from it has just been so encouraging. You know, the YouTube videos are, YouTube views, sorry, are insane, and music channels have been consistently, you know, putting it out and even messaging me to be like, we love your video, just want to let you know, and they don't need to do that, but, you know, the fact that they're choosing to is so lovely. So we've just had seeing amount of support, and I just think it's a lovely wee start, you know, and I feel good to build on it. I'm looking forward to Sunday, but again, like, I haven't got any particular goal on it, that if it doesn't achieve that, I'll feel like I'm shortcoming in any way. I just feel like, you know, the response has been more than what I ever imagined. For my first single, you know, and I'm just so excited for it, you know.
And you're in this whole press whirlwind at the moment, doing photo shoots, and has that been fun?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not very good at the whole photo shoot thing. I love the interviews like this, just to have a wee chat and, you know, stuff like that. Interviews are great, but photo shoots, I want to die in. Just like feel like it's so hard to even get me to be serious in it, you know, because it just always, you know, basically if you're not a model, I'm pretty sure you don't enjoy getting your photo taken. So I just always have to have someone there that makes me laugh. Basically my whole team are my friends, like my makeup artist, my best friend, my stylist, my best friend, you know what I mean? So it's good to have that, because then at least you can get some natural shots where you're not standing looking at the photographer like you hate him.
And what's this business about your hair arriving in a taxi?
Oh my goodness, how did you hear that? I can't remember. That was so funny. Yeah, it was the night before my photo shoot, and my hairstylist phoned me and was like, I need you to pick up the ponytail. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, so do you want me to meet you somewhere? And he's like, no, it's not going to arrive till 2 a.m. It's like, 2 a.m.? What do you mean, arrive? And he's like, oh, it's going to be in the back seat of a taxi. Basically, I had to wait up till 2 a.m. Then this guy, like, obviously phoned me and was like, oh, you know, taxi's out here. Walked outside and opened the back seat, and there was my ponytail.
A ponytail sitting on the back seat?
Sitting on the back seat. Like, that's funny. And then I was just like, oh my goodness, my life has gotten extremely weird.
And what about this white poodle as well?
Obviously I've lived in London for 5 years, and, you know, you're renting, you can't really get a dog, and I want one so bad. So they said to me, what prop do you want for your photo shoot and stuff? You know, have a look at some props. And I was like, basically, if I could spend a day with a dog, I'd be pretty happy.
I bet that's the first time that they've ever been asked that.
No, can I have a dog? I know, but the thing, yeah, I just, they said, do you want a wee small one? I was like, no, honestly, let's get the biggest, like, poodle you've ever seen, and let's make him really fluffy and have a wee bit of a fringe. So just because the match me a bit, so we ended up getting a big massive poodle with a fringe. That was fun.
Well, Leah, look, I just, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Oh, no, thanks so much for having me.
I'm going to go and do a wee download now. I'm going to come by the single, and I'm sure everybody will wish you all the best for a number one on Sunday.
Oh, no, thank you so much, and thanks everyone for the support. Like, it's just been absolutely incredible. I'm completely humbled by it. Thank you.
And we all have a top tip. Every day is a school day on The Nolan Show. We know that if you're ever on the red carpet, you say sushi. That's super. Thanks, Leah.
Oh, thanks very much. Thanks.
Bye-bye.